So we've had a former Speaker of the House now charged with using his political funds for personal business and a lavish lifestyle. Even his wife has been charged, speaking about former Speaker Lee Chatfield. Well, there was a time back in the 1990s when we had a lot more transparency. We could see what those funds were being used for. We didn't have to do so much digging or rely on whistleblowers. Chad Livengood has reminded of this in a fine column in the Detroit News. He is the politics editor and columnist there at the News and joining us live on this Tuesday morning. Morning, Chad.
Good morning, Guy.
It may seem like ancient history to some of us, but back in the 90s, we had these office holder expense accounts that were totally transparent. Give me a contrast between then and now and why this is important.
Yeah, so for about 24 or 5 years or so, from early 1970 until 1994, we had something called office holder expense funds, which were a portion of a politician's campaign committee money that they raised either be a state senator, state rep, the governor, the secretary of state, the attorney general, and whatnot. And they could apportion off some of this money for expenses incurred in the cost of being an office holder. So if they wanted to have a district office, say they're a state rep from Marquette and they need to have someone on the ground in Marquette while they're in Lansing, they could set up an office and they could charge the rent and the utilities related to and even the staff related to that office. What happened, though, over time was that members would rent rooms in their own homes. Even one senator, longtime Senator Jackie Vaughn from Detroit, he charged 75% of the rent of his apartment in Detroit as his office. Then he rented another apartment as his Lansing apartment, all charged to his office holder expense fund. And there was a raft of questionable ways that people would charge money. Longtime Senator Joe Mack from Ironwood, a Democrat, he paid in 1990 his wife $9,200 for unspecified secretarial services, and then. The longtime House Appropriations Chairman, Dominic Jacobetti, he paid his son $2,500 the day after Christmas in 1990 for shoveling the walk and answering the phone at his home in Negaunee. So there was a lot of these type of arrangements that got a lot of scrutiny back then by the Detroit News and other news organizations. And in the wake of another scandal at that Capitol, the House Fiscal Agency scandal that the News won the Pulitzer for in 94, they decided a good government measure was to just abolish the office holder expense funds. The next year, then Lieutenant Governor Dick Postumus opened up what is known as a 501c4 organization under the IRS code, a social welfare organization, and it became the new vehicle for these type of expenses that lawmakers could charge travel and other types of office expenses in excess of what they're already given for running an office. The posthumous Civic Fund predated something we all know in Detroit as the Kilpatrick Civic Fund, mm-hmm. which former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick was prosecuted for using as essentially a personal piggy bank to give out money to himself, to family and friends. And this is where we got to Lee Chatfield, according to prosecutors, that he used his Peninsula Fund for living a lavish lifestyle, paying off $132,000 in personal credit card debt racked up from travel all over the country, including family trips to Universal and even complete with a trip to the Harry Potter themed dinner or restaurant.
Chad, there were advantages of the old system of office holder expense funds, such as, reporters being able to easily access and scrutinize these records. Talk about the old system and how it provided more transparency compared to this current system of nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, so in the old system, they have to file these reports twice a year on what they spent the money on. And I featured this lengthy expose that Eric Friedman, who won the Pulitzer for the news over the House Fiscal Agency scandal a few years prior to that, he did a big investigation, just combed through 116 of these reports. At the time, 32 legislators weren't even using the funds. They weren't taking the money, so to speak. And he just chronicled a raft of issues where people were charging a lot of like seemingly personal expenses. The Speaker of the House at the time charged his antique car club dues. One senator bought a tuxedo and claimed that the office holder expense fund owned the casino, the tuxedo. I mean, it was just a number of different uses of it, but it was all in paper. It was all in writing, and there was records for it. When the nonprofit or funds came into exist, they file an annual tax return with the IRS that does not itemize that they spent money on a tuxedo or the antique car dues or the trip to Vegas or even the paying your wife for secretarial services. It's all just administrative column, travel and entertainment, no specific detail of who benefited from the travel, who went, any kind of, there's no receipts. These OEFs back in the day, they had to have receipts. And it could be just the most minor thing. It could be even a newspaper subscription might even show up in your receipts. And so that's the difference. We had a lot more transparency about one, it was your campaign donation. So if DTE Energy and Consumers Energy, poured several thousands of dollars into your campaign account, then you had several thousands of dollars to spend on all these expenses. You could deduce that, Senator so and so got a lot of money from the big utility companies. You can't deduce that now, and we don't know who's giving to these funds. It's completely secret. And for Lee Chatfield, the scale here was, while in office, he took in $1.3 million in 2019 and 2020, and he spent it all. And he continued to travel even through the pandemic in 2020, when the rest of us were, sort of stuck at home. He seemed to be still racking up travel expenses that entire year. And it's now all coming out that according to the Attorney General, he was essentially embezzling this money. And her allegations is that he was running a criminal enterprise to misuse this money.
Chad, we have less than a minute left, but no one's saying bring these expense accounts back because it had more transparency, but sort of what is the answer?
Well, there's a proposal in the legislature called the BRITE Act, BRITE, and it essentially would require these 501c4 nonprofits to be registered with the Secretary of State so that we could actually identify who's got what and what groups are tied to which politicians. But they're not calling for transparency. They're not calling for the disclosure of the funds of what was spent, and they're not calling for the disclosure of the donors. And so, in essence, this is not anywhere near the type of transparent system we had at least back in the late 80s and early 90s.
All right, Chad Livengood, politics editor and columnist at the Detroit News. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks.
All right, and coming up, Michigan Golf Live in its 25th year will be joining the WJR lineup on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and we'll be talking with the creator and hosts of Michigan Golf Live coming up next at 8:49 on JR Morning.